Hello, welcome to the DriveCast. This is Ed Travers, teaching pastor at LifePoint in Westerville. We continued in our series this week called Daybreak, where we're talking about the week that changed the world, the last week of Jesus' life. And the thing that we're saying is how every day reflects the resurrection. In this particular day, the Tuesday, this is the day after the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, where Jesus has been, he walked in, or he came in riding a donkey, and, you know, the people are waving their palm branches at him and screaming out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna," which means, "Lord, save us." And they are essentially saying that this is the king, David's son. This is the person who's going to lead us away from the Roman oppression. So on that incredibly triumphant day, the very next day, something very peculiar happens. Jesus is going to come in. He's going to clean out the temple. But right before then, this very unique passage happens. It starts in this, in Mark chapter 11, verse 12. This is, "On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, 'May no one ever eat fruit from you again.' And his disciples heard it." Now that, it's a pretty peculiar thing, because just imagine, you know, you're with the disciples that day, and, you know, you had such incredible popularity the day before. I mean, everything you've been dreaming of, that Jesus is finally coming into Jerusalem. He's going to claim the kingship over the nation. They are going to, you know, ride his coattails into this brand new government where, you know, Jesus is going to be in charge. But on their way in the next day, Jesus goes up to the Mount of Olives. There's a fig tree there. He goes up looking for figs, even though it's not the fig season. There's no figs on the tree, so he curses the tree and says, may no one ever eat the fruit of it. You have to be wondering, like, what in the world is going on? Why would he do this? You know, later, you know, he goes into Jerusalem and he sees that in the temple, there, you know, all the money changers are there. And what had basically happened, that was the court of the Gentiles, where God had set it up that people who didn't know God, Gentile people, could come and meet with God there. But the people of Israel had basically turned it into a, you know, a money-making machine. So, for example, if you were a person that wanted to give a, you know, an offering, you couldn't give your money. You had to go exchange it to give temple money so that the temple money would be holy, and then you could offer it to God there. The thing is, when you went to do your rate of exchange, you know, the temple made money on that. If you wanted to do an offering of an animal, you know, you couldn't just buy any animal. You had to use their animals that were holy, so you had to pay for it. And it basically became a hurdle, the very place that God had intended that people far from him could come and connect to him. They turned it into a hurdle. The whole thing with the fig tree was a picture of the whole relationship that Israel's leaders had with God. They were doing religious activity, but they had no heart for God. They were a fruitless religion at that point. The very thing God intended, they were absolutely walking away from. It was like a tree without fruit. And when Jesus cursed the fig tree, even though the disciples probably had no idea what he was doing at the time, and you can see that later in the passage, you know, they're walking out and they're leaving Jerusalem, and they say to Jesus, "Hey, look, the tree that you cursed, it's withered." You know, they didn't get it. They didn't understand it until later. There's a reality here that, on a couple different ways, that the first one is that we have to trust in what Christ says, even when we don't understand what's happening. We need to lean in, even when the things around us, we don't seem to understand them. I think at a time like this with the coronavirus and the fact that it's sweeping our world, you know, there's different cases popping up and, you know, we're all kind of isolated. Our normal life as we know it has been changed due to a virus. What are you doing, God? What are you doing in this moment? What are you trying to do? And I think what he's asking us to do is to trust him, to trust that he has a purpose in this, to trust that he is doing something, even if it doesn't seem readily apparent on the surface. The second truth is that he wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to live a life of trust, because in that trust, God will produce fruit through our life. And that fruit comes from an intimacy with him, that as we trust in him, as we follow him, that is when He starts to do what only He can do in and through our lives. Father, I pray that you would help us to trust in you in these times that seem out of control. But we do trust, God, that you are in control. None of this catches you off guard. You have a purpose for this. God, use our life to produce your fruit. We ask that in your Son's name. Maybe just take a second where you're at and just pray and tell the Lord, I'm offering my life to you. Use my life in this time. Help me to be wise to what you're doing and to follow your activity. Lord, use my life. Well, thank you so much for being part of the Drivecast today. Till next time, God bless.